Welcome, it's feast time. This is Pastor Tim Karskatten here at Christian Center Shreveport doing our daily podcast, and it is the week leading up to Purim, and a phenomenal feast of Esther, Mordecai, the hanging of Haman. Let's see what it means for us this year, how it applies to where we are. Let's see, either we speak out or we go into exile.
Finding my nerve. Your head down, there's a time, but it's not now. Sometimes you gotta go uninvited. Sometimes you gotta speak when you don't have the floor. Sometimes you gotta move when everybody
else is. That's our official song for Purim. We played it last week, but I wanted to play it again this week. It's time to speak out or go into exile. That'll be our focus this week. Well, welcome. It's Monday. It's the 18th day of March, 2024. Purim is Saturday night at sundown, goes through Sunday night. We'll be celebrating at Christian Center on Sunday morning. We have a special message on Purim, making sure that we honor this incredible feast that happened many, many years ago, obviously. I think the actual date is 722 or 722 years before Christ, B.C. And we want to get to this. And if I could title this, I would call it Speak Out or Face Exile. And I think this is where we are, especially us in the free world, who still have a chance to speak out. You know, if you're in a nation like China or in the Middle East, you can't speak out anymore. If you do, you'll die. I mean, not saying that God wouldn't ask you to do that, but we still have opportunity to speak out in the free world. So most of you listening to me today are in that world. So let's challenge ourselves this week. So we're going to spend the week just focusing on that and leading up to Purim. I think it's one of my favorite feasts. It's a celebration of coming out of bondage into freedom. There's a reason for all bondages. There's always issues that lead to that. I've extensively studied slavery and going into exile for different people groups throughout history, not just the Jewish people. I think they're the main ones we focus on, but for other groups as well. And you've heard me talk about it almost every single time that I've found so far. It's because of rebellion to God, not listening to what the Lord's told them to do, worshiping false gods. And God uses slavery as a redemptive purpose. You've got to understand that. God is always redemptive. And you must see the global view above it all of how God views situations, which you consider a negative. God considers an opportunity to move forward. Eric Joyner, I've shared this before, but he was having a vision or dream, I think it was, and he sees this oscilloscope, which is, you know, what they see on ships on radar and stuff, and he's watching this little line, and if they see something under the water, it'll do a little blip on the screen. It blipped, and so he said to the Lord, he said, "What's that blip?" And the Lord said, "Oh, that's the Great Tribulation." He said, it's just a blip on my screen. On us, it's like the worst thing we could possibly think of. God sees it as redemptive because he's going to redeem the righteous, and he's going to redeem and restore everything that's been lost. So he is always redemptive. Now, most of you, hopefully everybody here knows the story of Purim or knows the story of Esther. You know, they were taken into exile, and Mordecai is taking care of Esther. It's her uncle. He's her uncle, family members. They took care of each other. Well, the king wants to build up his harem or his, you know, his a king is measured by how many wives he has at that time in Medes and Persia. And so he starts gathering the most beautiful ones he can find. He doesn't. He has servants that do that. And, well, Esther gets gathered. She goes through this process of beautification, which is a whole nother teaching about the bride of Christ because she's a picture of that. of 6 months of scrubbing, getting dead skin, removing everything that's hard in her life, making her soft in every area of her life, removing the hardness from her, which is a picture of the bride, and then 6 months of fragrance, putting oils and perfumes into her for 6 months so that when the heat of the moment comes, she doesn't ooze out putrid odors. She oozes out beauty and fragrance. And that's what we're called to do when we're under stress and pushed by the enemy, when we've been massaged by God, when we've gone through the purging of self and flesh, then we will have that fragrance. Okay, that's kind of a story. The edict comes through Haman, through deception of the king, that he wants to kill all the Jews in the territory. Mordecai gets wind of it. He hears it. He then sends a word to Esther, who's in the palace now because she's been selected to be one of his wives and possibly the queen. And eventually, obviously, she does become the queen. And, you know, she chooses not to. She wants, no, I don't want to do this. And basically, she thinks she's going to save her skin because it seems to be that the king and them do not know she's Jewish. And then Mordecai brings the warning, surely you'll not save your house. And besides, if you don't save the people of Israel, the Jewish people, God will send another. It's the only book in the Bible that doesn't have the word God in it because it's a story. It's a story of victory here. And that's kind of the background. She is successful. And obviously, you know the rest of the story. But we want to go through and go back and talk about what caused or led Israel to be exiled in the first place. Speak out or faced exile. That's going to be our title. I don't know how far I'll get today. I'll try to get as far as I can, and then we'll just pick up tomorrow. So you're going to have to listen each and every day on this Holy Ghost channel. Are you with me? Okay, let's go. Let's delve into this. Let's see how it applies to us right now, where we are. I think this is the story of where we are. We're all about to be taken into exile unless God has people that will speak out and fight for a nation, fight for a people. Now, after the reign of Solomon, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the left and left to reign of the image, the lineage of David, Israel and Judah. They are described as, that's how the names were given. Israel goes to the north, for the most part, to the area where we know is Samaria today, and Judah remains in Jerusalem and southward to the wilderness, Beersheba, all the way down to the Dead Sea, Eilat, if you know that area where we are now. Okay, that's the background of the division of the nation, two nations right there. So Israel picks their own kings and military leaders, and the nation is divided, and you're going to have many civil wars throughout its history. Now, that's not good. Nor is it the will of the Lord for a nation that is put together by God to be divided. We're facing this in America right now. We are at wit's end with one another. We are divided. We are having a social civil war right now. We're not having a military one, but we're having a social civil war. And this is where Israel was. It probably started with differences, and then it grew into a physical battle. And that became the prophetic reality for Israel. And it will be for any nation that divides itself based on ideology and the desire to control its citizens and move them away from the ways of God. That's what is causing civil war. That's what caused civil war there. It's what causes it in every nation, if you ask me. So in 2 Kings, we see a military leader named Jeroboam, and he leads Israel as their first king. And we know that the Jewish people were told by the Lord when they entered the land to only worship at the places the Lord God puts his name. Deuteronomy 12, 4 through 5 tells us that. So David established that place to be Jerusalem by the command of the Lord, and the temple is placed there. So this is where God says, this is my house. I want you to come here and worship. And we know that's the eternal city of Israel, of the land of Israel to this day. It should be, and it should always will be, I should say. So Jeroboam realized that if the 10 tribes of the north continue to go and worship with Judah, they're going to find a place of unity, and he didn't want that. He thought, well, if we worship together, we'll start getting along with each other. Hello? I watched an interview the other day with Tucker Carlson, And Chris Cuomo, Chris Cuomo used to be with CNN, Tucker Carlson with Fox News, and they were arch enemies on television, attacking each other all the time. But they both got fired, so they decided to come together, and they realized that they misunderstood each other at a certain level, and they found places of commonality, and they actually could identify with the pain of being kicked out and suffering. And even though they're ideologically different, they found a place of unity. And that's what happens. And the enemy doesn't want that. So he uses the spirit of division in order to divide a nation. And that's what we're seeing in America for sure. What is happening now. So as Jesus tells us, a house divided against itself cannot stand. That's why America has to turn. Now, fortunately, last week we gave the prophetic that we have a chance. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We can come out of this. A rebirthing of America is a dream that Chris Reed had, and we're believing for that. So anyway, that became the prophetic reality for Israel, and it will be, like I said, for any nation that goes down that road. In 2 Kings, we see a military leader named Jeroboam as he comes forth, as I talked about before. Now, he didn't want this unity, so he tried to find a way to worship away from Jerusalem and ultimately away from what the Lord had commanded him to do. It's in 1 Kings 12:28. So the king consulted and made 2 golden calves, and he said to them, "It is too much for us to go up to Jerusalem before your gods. Behold your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." Those are exact words that Aaron spoke when he created the 2 golden calves, the golden calves as well. Unbelievable, guys. You know, history will repeat itself so many times. Now, for the next 200 years, there were 18 more kings put into place, and none of them were good, and each king was worse than the one before. In 2 Kings 17:6, it says, "In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria and carried Israel away into exile to Assyria and settled them in Halah and Habor and the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes." That was Persia at that time. As I said earlier, that's 722 before Christ, B.C. So that ends the northern kingdom. It's over. Right now we're moving along in history here. In verse 7 there, it says, "Now this came about because the sons of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up in the land of Egypt and under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and they had feared other gods." So why did we go into slavery? Why do we go into exile? Because, it tells us here, because we serve or we have sinned against the Lord our God, and who delivered us and set us free. And we feared other gods rather than fearing the Lord. That's one of the main reasons you go into exile. As a person, you do as well. If you start serving other gods and you don't serve the Lord God, you will go into exile. Well, okay, I'm not going to prison, but you'll go into exile because you'll be so miserable without God. So God defines the sin in 2 Kings 17:1-2. It says, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, the king of Judah, Hoshea, son of Elah, became the king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 9 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, only not as the kings of Israel who were before him. Hoshea was good in his own eyes, but God defined sin not by the tree of good and evil." Ephesians tells us to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, not as we see it. Hoshea could have argued that he did not do as bad, as evil as the other kings, yet the Lord does not judge our sin based on the actions of others. He or she have many issues, but they are really good people, right? You know, we can say that, but who says they're good? By what scale? Hebrews 12 says, "Run your own race, cast aside every sin that entangles you, not just the ones you want to, because they are not as bad as others." So here you have the warning. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So now we're starting to understand a little bit. We're going to stop right here. We're starting to understand why Israel is in exile. So you got this rationale by King Hoshea, who now says, "Well, I'm not as bad as others. I should be blessed." But God doesn't measure on that scale. He's immutable. He's a God that is preeminent. He's always true to what he says. He says, same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have to understand that. So as we move forward in this message, Think about your own nation. Make sure you check in your own family. Where are we? Have we drifted away? Have we not obeyed the Lord? And if we have, we'll go into a level of wilderness, exile, whatever you want to call it. And we don't want that. We want our nations returned. Well, Jesus needs to come back. Well, let him come back to a nation that is serving him. That's what it says in Luke chapter 18. When he came back, will he find you in faith? Lord, we want to be found in faith today. We want to be fighting the good fight. We want to be the Esther of this moment and speak out in the midst of the battle that we're in right now. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, come back tomorrow. We'll continue. Well, thanks for listening each and every day here on our daily podcast. We are talking about the Feast of Purim. So join us this Sunday, the 24th, either live or you can watch us online and catch this revelation. We have a special service planned for both our children and our adults. We're excited about that. Thank you for sowing. We're fighting the fight, and we're on the field right now. As you listen to this, we're in Japan. Thank you for supporting us. We bless you. We'll see you again next week. God bless. Love you guys.